Okay, or both sides. The one thing we didn't discuss last time, which I just wanted to briefly mention, was a big mystery. Was okay. Was the discussion of if you do bedika, but you know you're not perfect and you miss something, do you violate by your Bayi Matze or not? Is that a, that's obviously an amazing, is that a shogeg violation of Bayi Rabbi Yimatze, or is it not? We saw that most Rishonim say that it's not a violation at all. And why do they say that? Because of the Gemara, excuse me, on Daf Avon Beis. To review the Gemara on Daf Avon Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Marav says, sorry Shmuel, we're in the middle of an Inyan, Habodek Tzarech Shei Yevatel, you have to bittel after Bidika, why? So the Gemara in the end decides, Amar Rav Hashem Yimza Gluska Yafe V'dayti Lavei. Maybe you'll find a nice cake that your mind is on it. So far, that sounds like the Shibboleth Lekut in the Torah. Maybe you'll find a cake that you missed and you'll violate by Rabbi Matze. But then the Gemara says, V'chi Mashkachas Lo Liptilei. Why don't you just be Mavatil when you find it? What does that Gemara imply? It's not a problem until now that it was there. The only problem from now on, and from now on you have a solution, just do bittel. And the Gemara answers, Dilma Mashkach, the Basa Bisur, Blabrish, who's a kind of Lamatsi Gavatale, and the very, very deep Indian that we'll have to spend time on. Dhammar Rilazar, Shnadibar, Ain Mashush, Shaladim, Asa, Kosakil, Mashusa, Bailing, Borbish, the Rabbin, Khamish, Shel, Salamala. We're not getting to that yet, but what does the Gemara say? Maybe you'll find a cake after the time of the Isser Chametz when it's too late to do bittel. And then you'll violate from then on. But what does the Gemara clearly imply? The Bav Amidase, the Amidase says, V'chi mashkachas lei liv tolei. What does that imply? That if you do bittel, when you find it, it's not an Aveira. It's not an Aveira. Meaning, it's not an Aveira until you find it, right? I mean, there's no problem. There's a solution. It's not an Aveira if you do bittel when you find it. Why is it not an Aveira if you do bittel when you find it? Because, one second. It's not an Aveira until you find it, because obviously it wasn't an Aveira. Equals, it's not an Aveira until you find it. And this is the opinion, the Daya of Rav Rishonim that we mentioned last time, right? Which is the opinion of Rav Rishonim. Why? We had three explanations, if you recall. One was Rabbi Yudavid and the Maharam Cholava, who we put together, they use different words. The idea is that Lo Nitna Torah Lemalachi Hashares, meaning you did Hashbisu as well as you could. Right? A local principle based on their understanding that Hashbisu primarily means physical destruction. Two was the Ran, HaTorah Somcha al HaChazakos, right? When you checked, it was a Chazakah that there was nothing left. That Chazakah was wrong. But when you rely on a Chazakah, that's not the Meira. And three was Tosfos in the second Perek, right? If the Tosfos made a Perek, he mentions this on Daf Avon Beis. You don't have to wait till the second Perek. He says, hidden chametz that you don't know where it is. Kevan she'eino yodeya eifohu eino nirev nimsa. It's not by your Rabbi Yimotzi. Firstly, it's not that it's not your fault. It's not Naveira. It's not even the tchefta by your Rabbi Yimotzi in the first place, because it's not nirev, it's not nimsa. It's present, but it's not nirev, it's not nimsa. Fine. However, what did we do with, what was our kasha that we left off? Was the opinion of the Shibole Haleket and the Torah, who said very clearly that Avar al Balye Rabbi Yimatse Bishogeg ad, until you find it. Right? That was very, very clear. Avar al Balye Rabbi Yimatse Bishogeg. Kodim Shayim Tzayim. Right? What do they both say? They both say it's an Avir by Yerba Yimatse. If you don't do Bittol, it's Meshogi, but it's still Avir and Isidor Reiser by Yerba Yimatse until you find it. How do I know that they both say this? The Shibali Aleket says explicitly, he says, here it is. Shem Bodak will be tell us a summing and I if you do Badika, but you're not Mavatal what's you don't see what's hidden. Are you overall what's missing, what's hidden, not when you find it, what's hidden, you find it by your Matse. That's very explicit. And the Torah is also very explicit. Says the Torah, we'll read one of the Torahs, that if you find Chametz and you didn't do Bittel, you should burn it so you don't be overlo b'mezit, shad'at lo overlo b'shogeg. Until now you're over b'shogeg. So they both say it's an avera to have chametz you missed in your house if you didn't do bittel. That's before she gets the gemara. If it's an avera to have chametz without bittel, then why does the gemara save it? Oh, just be mavatal later. What do you mean mavatal later? It's been an avera for 3 days until then. What do you mean be mavatal later? So, it's very strange. It's very difficult. This gemara is like a foolish gemara. Again, fish roll it up in the Torah. I have this suspicion in my heart that I'm afraid to say, not afraid to say because of the political implications, I'm afraid to say because I can't intellectually defend it, that maybe the Shibbol HaLeket just had a totally different gears of the Gemara Davam and Beis. Why? Well, because already he says the opposite of Davam and Beis. The Davam and Beis says, after Bedika, you still have to do Bittel in case you find a Gluska Yafet. He says, after Bittel, you still have to do Bedika in case you find a Gluska Yafet. Now, it could be that he was just extrapolating. But already he says things very different than we have in Dafav and Beis. So, already he says two things different in Dafav and Beis. Now, one of Dafav and Beis that says it's not an Aveir until you find it. And he says it is an Aveir until you find it. And Dafav and Beis that says the Gluski Yafa is the reason you need Bittel. And he says Gluski Yafa is the reason you need Bedika. So, it's very suspicious. You wonder if maybe he just had a totally different year. So that's why he wasn't worried about this tomorrow. But I don't know what that different Gersa could have been. I have no evidence of a different Gersa. I looked around. I thought. So I suspect, but I can't really prove it because, A, I have no evidence of anyone having a different Gersa, and B, I can't think easily of a Gersa that he might have had that would explain what he said. We don't know. He never quotes it anymore. So maybe you're maybe had a different Gersa, maybe. But I don't know. I can't prove that. So let's say he had our Gersa. And the Torah certainly get our Gersa. What do you do? So the Chori, you have one of two options. The Tzlach there gives three answers. One of which is a little fanciful. You can decide if you like it or not. The Chori, the one of two answers are like this, that I can think of. Answer number A is that line was only in the Havamina. Right? That's a classic answer. Whenever there's a line the Gemara against your Shita, say that line is the Havamina, but in the Maskana, they change their mind. What changed their mind can have in Maskana? And this is going to be subtle. The Havamina said, Dilma, the Havamina was, that maybe you'll find a Gluski Yafe b'dayta ilavei. We'll get to a big machlokes rishon and what the words dayta ilavei means. Your mind is on it. But says, suggests the Tzlach. Maybe the Havamina is it's only by your Rabbi Yimotze if your mind is on it. If you're thinking about it. In which case, if it's hidden and you don't know where it is and you don't know that it exists, there's no by your Rabbi Yimotze. But then, what happens at the end of the Gemara? Rabbi Eliezer says a big chiddush. That if you find it after the Isser, this is how we passed it, by the way, it's being finished. If you have chametz after the Isser starts, it's too late to do bittul. Why? Since you don't own it anymore, or it's not in your possession anymore, because it's already Isser v'hana'ah, you're not allowed to do bet, meaning it's not effective to do bet. So, what do we see from there? That even though your mind is not on it, it's still by Rabbi Yimotze. Right? Let's say I find chametz in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. It's too late to do bittul. And I say, I hate this chametz. I don't want it. I don't like this chametz at all. I wish it was gone. I still violate by Rabbi Yimotze because I haven't done bittul. So what do we see? We changed our mind from thinking that the Isser of Rabbi Yimotze is mental, Daita Ilave, to thinking that it's physical. Chametz being here. Once we change our mind from Rabbi Yimotze being a mental Isser, physical Isser, words that will develop when we get to the sugya of Rabbi Yimotze, of course. Then already we changed our mind, and even if you don't know that it exists, you're still over. So what does the Slach suggest? He suggests maybe that Lafi Hahavamina, he works off the phrase Taita Ilave, meaning the Isser Bayira Bayimatze is if you want Chametz. But Lafi the Maskana, that changes the Maskana. Meaning, what do I mean? It's not a game. You can't just, whatever you have a line in the Gemara you want to disagree with, say that's what the happening with the Maskana is not true. No, you have to have a reason why the Maskana says it's not true. Here he finds a reason. In the Havamina, he finds the words Daiti Levei. The Havamina is that it's the Isser in Daya Lesson to your Das. It's for your Das to be with the Chametz. But then the Maskana, even if you hate the Chametz, and even if you try to be with the Chametz in your way, you're still violent. So what do we see? According to the Maskana, when we say that Bittol Lo Mehani Achar Zmani Suro, then what does this mean? That the Isser Balyira Balyimatze is physical presence of chametz. Okay, once the Isser is physical presence of chametz, now what does that affect? Meaning, Badak Velo Bitel Behayasham chametz. Lo avar in the Havamina, because your das is not on it. The Havamina by your Rabbi is your das. But in the Maskana, by your Rabbi Yimotze is purely physical. Once the Maskana is physical, then Badak v'lo bitel v'haya sham chametz avar. Okay, that is a very, very nice read. It's working off these words, Daiti Ilavei, which are important words that all the Rishonim struggle in the Havamina base. He says that to the words mean. At first, we think there's only Mr. Rabbi Yimotze if your heart is with the chametz, if your mind is on the chametz. In which case, if you miss something, it's no problem. So we say, just bring it back on later and take your heart off it later. Then we change our mind and we say, no, even if your heart's not on the chametz, if it's physically there, it's no problem. It's being a little more interesting word than it's there, but it has a basis. And therefore, we change our mind in Maskana. That is the first way to answer. And that would work for the Shiva Le'alekit. Shiva Le'alekit. There's another possible way to answer, which he says, which is based on his answer to a famous Kasha in the Nevi Huda. Who here learned Hilchos Nida and Smicha? I don't know if anyone learned Hilchos Nida. Remember, what's the machlokes about Vestos? Anyone?
Deraita Derabanan?
Vestos, Deraita, or Vestos Derabanan. Vestos means the day a woman's expecting her period. Does she have to refrain from Tashmish? If it's Doraisa, then we Doraisa, she has to refrain. If it's Rabbanan, then not. Okay, that's at least the simple pshat. No to be here to question that, but let's leave that simple pshat for now within this part of the Noda Behuda. So the Esther famous Kasha, Vestos are to the Gemara says that if a husband sleeps with his wife not during the Vestos, and it turns out she became a Nida in the middle of Tashmish, then it's not an Avera. It's not their fault. How is it their fault? Meaning, Taka, she was a Nida during Tashmish, but it's not anyone's fault, because how they should have Cheskas Kara. However, if he sleeps with her during her Veses, and she becomes a Nida in the middle of Tashmish, then they have to bring a Karban, because it's an Avera, because they were negligent. So ask all the Rishonim and Achronim, mostly Achronim.
Isn't that the Rambam?
What? That's everyone. That's Gemara.
I mean, the part about the Veset, Bismana Veset, about their Chayev Echad or Sunan,
is a Rambam. It is a Rambam, but it's also a Gemara first. It's not unique to the Rambam. It's a Gemara. The Rambam happens to have an interesting formulation when he quotes this Gemara, which is relevant, but not for our topic right now. He says something philosophically interesting there, but not for our topic right now. So everyone asks, hold on a second. We passed in 95% that we showed him the Vestos are Rabbanan. If Vestos are Rabbanan, then Midoraisa, they didn't have to refrain from Tashmish. So how could we say it's their fault in their Chayva Karban if they engaged in Tashmish and she was Persa Nita? Midoraisa, what they did was perfectly okay. Midoraisa, it's Mutter to sleep together during the Vestos. So how could you be Chayva Karban for doing something as Mutter Doraisa? Says the Nod Bihuda. No. What's the Ptor? The Ptor is the Ptor Anus. Because it's not their fault they slept together, and it's not their fault she all of a sudden got her period in the middle of sleeping together. However, once midrabbanan, they assert sleeping together during the time of the Vestos, now you're not an anus anymore. Meaning there's a big machlok, we're familiar with this big machlok is in kinyanim and everything else. Does the din d'rabbanan change the din d'oraisa or not? In every area of halacha, the achronim go to town with this. Okay, how about when it comes to anus versus shogeg? When it comes to whether you're responsible for an aveir or not, says the Nod Bihuda, we can prove from the Gemara that when the Rabbanan tell you not to do something, if you do it, now you have no excuse to be Doraisa either. Even though it's only us and Rabbanan for them to sleep together, still, they can't say I'm an honest be Doraisa. No, you're not. You shouldn't listen to the Rabbanan. Right? So even though the Torah didn't tell you to refrain, if the Chazal told you to do something, you're not an honest if you don't listen to Chazal. That's what the Nod Bihuda deduces from Hilchos Vestos. And it's a pretty strong deduction. I'm not saying we can't get out of it. We're not learning Maseches Nida now. But it's a pretty strong deduction. That is the mainstream way to answer this question. So once we see that when the Rabbana make a takana, that changes whether you have a Ptur Anus Midaraisa, now the Nod Yehuda says, he has to answer our question also. Basically, he can defend the Torah with the same answer they used to answer the Kasha in Hilchos Nida. So says the, it's in the Tzlach here also. The Tzlach is written by the Nod Yehuda. Says this is the Teiretz Lekushya Hamaforsemis Al Manda Omar Vestos Midrabanan. And what's the Teiretz? The Teiretz is that Im Avar Al Takonas Chachamim Ein Lo Tor Ones Afilu Midoraisa. Therefore, before the Chachamim came along, if I lived in time of Moshe Rabbeinu and I slept with my wife during the Vestos, which was perfectly fine, and it turned out that she was a Mida, I'd be put to the Gabri. Tor Ones, it's not my fault. But once the Rabbanan told me not to, now I'm not an honest anymore. Now I'm a Moshea. And therefore, if I do that, I'm Chayv a Karban. So says Nod Yehuda, now he answers your question. This is not going to work for the Golan yet, but it's going to work for the Torah. Now, what do we do from that? We answer up Shitas HaTor very simply. Before the Rabbanan made their Takana, what's the din of Badak Velo Bitel? The Nishar Lo Chometz. What's the din? Kodem Takonas Bittol. It's not an Aveira, because he's totally honest. But Achar Takonas Bittol, it is an Aveira. Of course, who does that work according to? That works according to the Rebbe Dagmar Kalava. If you assume the Ptur is because of Anos, when it comes to Asharis, it's not your fault. Well, it wasn't your fault until they made the Xera. But once they made the Takana, now it is your fault for not listening to the Chachamim. And therefore, it's no steer of the Torah. The Torah is talking about, obviously, after the Takana. How do I know the Torah is talking about after the Takana? Because he's talking about Halacha L'Maisa when he wrote it 700 years ago, which was a long the Gemara, the following days, what's their question? The question is, why did they make the takana? Why did they need to make the takana? Their question is, before there was takana, why make it in the first place? And this is not like a dachu kipta. This is obviously the Gemara is before the takana. Whenever I ask, why did they make the takana? What I mean is, before they made the takana, why did they have to make it? I can't say they made the takana because of what would happen after the takana. They have to have a reason before the takana to make the takana. And therefore, the Gemara on Daf Bava Medeis is Mairi Kodem HaTakana. And that's Pasha, meaning this is not a Dachuk answer. Obviously, the Torah is after the Takana. The Torah is talking in the 1300, after the Takana. Obviously, the Gemara is before the Takana. The Gemara is asking why they made the Takana in the first place, meaning before they had the Takana, why did they decide to make the Takana? And therefore, says the Yehuda, no problem, before the Takana was an Avira. And the only reason they made the Takana is because maybe you'll find it after the time, and afterwards you'll mess up and you won't burn it. However, now they made the Takana, it changes everything, and now it's an Avira the whole time, because you're not an onus if you don't listen to the Chachamim. Having the Chachamim change, whether it's an Avira or the Raisa, that's proven from Vestos. That when the Rabbanan give you, not advice, the Rabbanan give you rules, if you don't listen to Rabbanan's rules, then even Midoraisa, you can't claim it's not my fault. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Can you clarify? Just I'm not fully understanding. So if before Chazal had come along, they tried to help us out because if you had done Bedika, you'd be covered. You wouldn't be over on Bayar by Matzah. But in case you found something, so then in that
and
moment,
you didn't burn it. If you found it, then you're worried about that in your case.
Thank you very much. Right now, they go ahead and make their takana, and now when I find it, I'm automatically over for having found it, and all along I've been violating it. Their takana hurt us more than it helped us.
No, it didn't, because once they make their takana, everyone follows their takana and does bittul, and no one ever does anything wrong. You ever meet an Orthodox Jew? You ever meet a conservative Jew who didn't do bittul chametz? Everyone does bittul chametz. It's the easiest takana in the world to follow. Right? So they didn't really mess anyone up. Because like the odds that someone will not do bittul chametz, it's not like they made takanas that are really hard and tempting, etc. The odds that someone won't do bittul chametz are 0.0001%. I'm telling you, you probably never even met a conservative Jew who didn't do bittul chametz. It's the easiest to find in the world. So they didn't really, you're right, theoretically, if someone doesn't do bittul, they made him worse off. You could say the same thing, by the way, about the Chana Vestos. Obviously, they make a cheshbon and they say, yeah, it's not going to happen. It's okay. Doesn't bother me.
So the Nodi Yehuda is saying that there's no difference between a Shev Val Tasa and a Kum Vasei with respect to this Ikaron of Takanas Chachamim?
Correct. He himself puts them these two things together. It's not me putting these two things together. He puts them together. Both in his Shut, in Nodi Yehuda, and in his Perisher of Psachim Litzlach. Again, Litzlach, he wrote on many Masechtas in Shas, but only a few Masechtas he wrote long. I mean, he wrote on only a fraction of Shas, and within that fraction, only a handful of Masechtas he wrote at length. Psachim is like the biggest Tzlach Masechta. And again, the Tzlach is the parish on Shas by the Nodi Yehuda. Nodi Yehuda is Rekeska Landau from Prague, who was one of the Gdoli Hador of the 18th century. And, you know, probably like the biggest Shut. One of the biggest Shut of the 18th century, the historians all agree, is the Nodi Yehuda. Not sure. No one knows exactly how to measure it. But still, you know that it's the biggest Shut. Okay, now we're ready to move on. Rabosai, we finished the Mishnah. Let's move on to the Gemara. All of a sudden, the Gemara talks about all kinds of interesting things. How do we start? My or, Rav Huna, what do you mean or lar basar? Rav Huna or Nagi, Rav Huna says, it means the day, Midoshan Noga, Rav Huna or Leili, it means the night. We think at first that the one who says Nagi really means Nagi, the one who says Leili really means Leili. Meaning we think at first it's a real machlokas. Obviously, this hinted to us that two daf later we'll see that this is all a mistake, but a fruitful, constructive mistake because we got to discuss lots of things. So we think at first that they're actually arguing whether Orlar Basar means the night of the 14th or the morning of the 14th. And now we're trying to prove who's right. What does Or mean? Umanda may say, Haboker or Vanashim Shulchu, talking about Yosef sending his brothers home. I mean, very briefly, because then he chased after them and arrested them. But Haboker or. The Boker was or. So that shows that or is the Boker. Alma or Yamamahu, that proves that or is daytime. The Gemara says, no, Miksev Ha'or Boker. Does say Ha'or Boker, meaning Ha'or, usually it's the noun verbs, right? The boy ran. The man ate. So if it had said Ha'or Boker, then you would say the morning came into being. And Or would have to be morning. But it says Ha'boker Or, meaning Boker is the noun and Or the verb. What it meant is the morning shined. Tamanda Amar Tzafra Nahar, meaning Or is like Heir. It shined, not a noun, it's a verb. And like we say, Tzafra Nahar, we'd say the morning shone, shined, or shone. Uchad Rav Yehuda Marav, and like Rav Yehuda Marav, the Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, the Olim Kadosh Adam Bekitov, the Yehuda Bekitov, first you should always go in Bekitov and leave Bekitov, meaning when you travel, you should get home or get to the place you're traveling while it's still light outside. Kitov is a nickname for light, because it says, Vayar Lekim Asahor, Kitov, right? The first Kitov in the Chumash. And he should leave Bekitov, right? You should get to town when it's light. You should leave town when it's light. You shouldn't travel at night. You should only travel during the day. Okay. Good halacha. The Rishonim here, just Tosos here, is bothered a little. Why do you have to bring Rav Yehuda Amar Rav? I mean, we had a question. The question was, or means day. The answer is no. Or is a verb. It means the morning shined its ray of light. So rays of light. Why do you have to bring in, meaning it's a cute thing, it's nice. Why do the brothers leave in the morning and not at night? Because they want to keep this halacha, meaning it's halacha of their heretz, because Bekito beats a Bekito. But like, why is that necessary here? How does that flow from the Gemara? So says Tosfos, Uchid Rav Yehuda, lo kol yamai d'shani, kido amar tzafer nahar, lemil sabafei nafshehu, he, it's not a continuation of the answer of Tafra Nahar. It's just a separate point. And it's teaching you what we can learn from this pasuk. Okay, it's a separate point. It's just a tangent. It's not part of the Shaka Vatarya. Obviously, why does Tosefta say that? Because you would expect when the Gemara says, Ukidah. I mean, if the guard stopped and said, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, we'd say, it's a tangent. Look, we've all learned enough Gemara to know that sometimes we go on tangents. And you would say they mentioned it for one reason, and then they have a tangent and teach you some derivatives of keto. But when it says, ukidir, and like, sounds like it's supporting what you said until now. It's a continuation of the same train of thought. So Tosas says, even though it sounds like the same train of thought, it's not really. That's why Tosas has to say this here. He knows that it's not really the proper method of interpreting the Gemara. However, that's a little duffel. Is there another option? Can you say it is a continuation? So, that's really our question. Our question is, why do you only need Rav Yehuda Amar Rav according to the answer of Tzafra Nahar, right? Why do you only need to, why is this only connected to this last answer? Tulsa says it's not. You don't. It's not a continuation. You need it according to everyone, right? You don't. It's really an independent statement. That's Tosos. The Tosos Shans, in the name of his Rebbe, generally his Rebbe is the Re. So then it would be, why is Artos not like the Re? You never know. Tosos Shans goes to a very different shot. Says, no, it is a continuation. Why? Because a pasuk has to teach us a chiddush. Until now, we thought the pasuk was teaching us the chiddush that Or means Yom. Right? Meaning, what does he say? That according to Rav Huna, right? Let's say like this. What is the chiddush of the pasuk? So the fi Rav Huna, the chiddush of the pasuk is that or means yom, right? That's the chiddush of the pasuk. Or means yom. But once we're doche lefi Rav Yehuda, that it means safra nahar, or does not mean yom. It just means the morning shined its light. When there's no chiddush, the morning always has light. So then we have to say the chiddush is kide Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The chiddush is like Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, not for himself, but it didn't have to be. Okay, that is what the Tosfos Shabbos quotes the name of his Rebbe. However, the Tosfos Shabbos himself doesn't like it because, like, what do you mean that chiddush that word means yom? Like, why would the Torah need to teach us that or means yom? What would be the nafkamina of that? Don't say so we'll know how to read Pshat in the Mishnah B'Psachim, because the Torah is not the Torah was before the Mishnah, right? The Torah is not intending to teach us Pshat in the Mishnah, right? So he says, that's why he has a little trouble. He says, why would the Torah need to teach us that or means yom? He says, maybe to teach you that someone says, I know they're not to benefit from or, he can't benefit from daylight. He says, no, that's obvious. What else could be of that? Okay, so he doesn't like this. Anyone want to tell me how Rashi answers this question? Rashi doesn't ask the question. Tosos asks the question. Whenever Tosos says, it is this, even though it's surprising, that means I have a question. Isn't the surprising the answer is, I'll swallow it anyway. The Tosos Shantz asks the question. Rashi never asks this question. But Rashi has a Gabaldic answer to this question. What's Rashi's answer to this question? Anyone? What's Rashi's answer to this question? I think. Rashi doesn't say he's answering the question. What? Okay. Correct, but that's then you're making the same sources, right? But then it's not Ukid Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. I mean, it's only Derek Agav according to this answer or according to both answers. So I'll say like this. It's very poshut. Look at this. Says Rashi, we have a different machlokas, Rashi and Tosos. What does it mean? Le'olam yetze adam b'kito. I know what it means. Go out in the light, right? Don't start driving in the dark. Start in the light. But how much light? What time are you yotze yetze b'kito? Anyone tell me, at what time are you yotze le'olam yetze adam b'kito? When do you have to leave through the kindness of their parents? Right? I'm not saying it's a chiyuv gomer. It's not an aveira if you leave at night. But if you want to be mekayim this derech eretz, this eitz atova, at what time do you have to leave to be mekayim kito?
Netzachama, Rashi.
Rashi says, Netzachama, says Rashi, Dibur hamaschil, bichitov, hayotzo derech eretz, arzo leitz molim orachama zarachas, lo machar yamtin, ad hanetzachama v'yetze. He has to wait until sunrise. And likewise, Rashi said in Dimaraskal Haboker or Xiv, he said, Shehim Timu ad Sheheir Mizrach. They didn't leave at the crack of dawn. They waited until the eastern horizon lit up. We're not getting to this now. There's something in Shas that mentions a few times, mostly in Mishnah Yoma called Heir Mizrach. It's not exactly clear what Heir Mizrach means. If you look on myzmanim.com, it doesn't give you your time for Heir Mizrach. Too complicated for them. They can do everything else. They can do all the math and the astronomy. They can't do Heir Mizrach. So, but Rashi in Menachos, Sadaf Samaches, says Heir Mizrach means Hanetzachama. And Rashi here also says that they wait till Heir Mizrach, which means they have to wait till Hanetzachama. So Rashi says it means Heir Mizrach. I'm just pointing out, other people think Heir Mizrach means something else. But Rashi thinks Heir Mizrach means Hanetzachama. When does the eastern horizon get lit? When the sun comes up. Okay, so Rashi says, at the time of Hanetzachama, what we call sunrise. However, what does Tosfos hold? Tosfos above Metzia. Now here, Tosfos Metzia is quoting Reina Chanan. But he never himself says differently. Tosfos above Metzia says, now Pei Gimel Amud Beis, he says, just one throwaway line, he says, that when a worker goes to work, he leaves before Hanetzachama. He leaves at dawn, before Hanetzachama. Dot, dot, dot. And they do differently than the pasuk in Baruch Nafshi. They want to be kind of this pasuk. So you put all the two and two together in this toast, they want to be kind of the pasuk. So why did they leave before an Etzachama? Because apparently you're kind of the pasuk if you leave after Alos HaShachar. That's Tosos and Bab Metzia. Tosos here doesn't say, but Tosos and Bab Metzia, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Bei, says, he doesn't say. What he says is, they came home early in order to be Kanes Bekito, and they left after Alos. But obviously, they also left the Yotze Bekito. And they said, you're kind of the whole meal. So obviously, Yotze Kito at Alos. So Rashi Tosos and Machluk is when you're Yotze Kito at Alos or at Hanitzachama. So now Rashi makes perfect sense. What does Rashi say? Lefi Rav Huna. Lefi Rav Huna. Then Haor Boker, right? We know they left in the morning, but we don't know when. We don't know when they left in the morning. Ha'or boker. The day was day. The morning was morning. But we don't know when they left in the morning. But lefi Rav Yehuda, who says, Tafra Nahar, they waited, not just, they waited until Ha'boker. Sorry, I need a new black one. Haboker Heir. They didn't. Not just until Boker. Right? For Rav at the Habino Kord Rav Huna, the word means neither, two nouns, or Boker. But we don't know how light it was. But in Kord Rav Yehuda, that it means Haboker, or the Boker was bigger, then they waited for the Boker, and then they waited longer until the Boker is bigger. And that's exactly what Rashi says. Says Rashi, that they waited at Sheher Mizrach. That's why I use the phrase Heir Mizrach in that piece to tie in with Haboker. Or they waited till the Boker was not just a Boker, but it was Meir, right? Equals Heir Mizrach, right? Equals Heir Mizrach equals Hanetzachama. So then the pasuk explicitly said they waited for Hanetzachama. So only this shot proves Yetze Adam Bikitov. According to Rashi, the Gemara is much more mature. Only once we said it in Safra Nahar, that means they didn't leave at the crack of dawn, they waited for sunrise. Now it proves you should be Yotze Bikitov. You should be Yotze when the sun's up. And that's why it's Ukid Rabbi Yehuda Marav. It really does connect. Tosos couldn't have said that, because Tosos, she doesn't come to see that. You Yotze Kito without Heir Mizrach, without Hanetzachama, right? We don't know. And therefore, Tosos had to give these one of these two Dachuk answers, while Rashi had a Pashut Hesber, but she tells them as to what the time of Kitov is. Okay. Nah, if you want to be Mekayim, this, Yetzah de Mekitov, how long should you wait before you leave your house? Okay, nowadays seems the Menigo Olam to be a little more makele about this, you know, because we go in cars, etc. And maybe it's not as dangerous. So that is just a, you have to be a dayik, but it's a clear machlok between Rashi and Tosos. Once you read it, you see it's an obvious machlok in Rashi and Tosos, and once you go to Bab Metzia, you realize it's Lishitos. There's another interesting Tosos here, which I'm not going to get into so much. He kanis on the Mekitov. There's just a machlok between the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, he doesn't hear quote Rabbeinu Tam, but he's reacting to Rabbeinu Tam, as you saw in Tosos and other places, like Bab Metzia, and the Bab Tam in the brackets. They argue about, here, I just didn't want to list everything. If you go through every Rishon, everywhere in Shas, you can come up with a whole list of different things, exactly what danger were they worried about. What would be dangerous if you traveled at night? And you can imagine a million theories. But Rabbeinu Tam makes a diuk. What's Rabbeinu Tam's diuk? His diuk is, it says, Olam Yikanes V'yetzi. First go in, then go out. Hold on a second. When I travel, I first go out, then I go in. So it says Rabbeinu Tam, it's not referring to starting a journey. Because that would say, Yetzei V'yikanes. It's referring to stopping along the way, meaning I leave my house in the morning. That's not what it's discussing. Then I get someplace to a foreign city, at night, I should go in while it's light and leave while it's light. So therefore, what's the diuk of Rabbeinu Tam? The diuk of Rabbeinu Tam is that Meiro Einu Tzarechitov, only Be'er Acheres Tzarechitov. You don't need to wait for the light when you leave your home from your city, because then it should have said Yitzei Be'Kitov. You only need light when you're stopping at a strange city. And therefore, what's the danger, according to Rabbeinu Tam? The danger must be something that's only dangerous in foreign places, not in your own town, which you could think of a few candidates. He himself says the pechatim and the michsholim. The danger is the pits and obstacles, meaning the physical dangers in the road. In my town, I know which roads are safe, which roads aren't safe, and I know how to travel safely even at night. But in a strange town, if I can't see, I could fall in a pit, I could trip, I could, you know, who knows what could happen to me. So therefore, it's the physical dangers that are inherent to the road. Right? He says, because, says Rabbeinu Tam, the chashash is michsholim upechatim. Pechatim means pits. Okay, it's the physical dangers in the road, which are not dangerous in my town, because I know my town. They're only dangerous in other towns. Right? If there's an open manhole cover in my town, I know where it is to avoid it. But if I go to a strange town, I better wait till it's very light outside so I don't cause myself to fall in the open manhole cover. Okay. The person hole cover. The Re disagrees. Says the Re, he denies the diuk. That's what's quoted in our Tosos and all over Shas. Says the Re, it's not a good diuk, and he just says it's the derech of the Gemara to not go in order. Like when the Gemara talks about climbing into a bar, it says you climb out and climb in. That's not true. You climb in and climb out. No, it's just the derech of the Gemara that they always talk about, like going someplace nice before going someplace not nice. They don't go in chronological order. They go in like nice order of niceness. No, you can go into town and then leave town. Going into town is a nice thing to mention first. You go out of the well and then into the well. Going out of the well is nicer. Okay, he denies the diuk. It's the derech of Shas that they're not mocked in chronological order. And therefore he says, Myri, afilu v'iro. You still need keto. Why do you need keto even in your own city? So he says, and he brings a proof from Bava Kamma, and Bava Kamma, they darshan this from the Pesukim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. V'atem lo seitzu ish mipesach beso at boker. Don't go out at night. Why? It was their own city. Their own city. They wouldn't have fallen in a pit. The answer is obvious, because Makas Mechoros. There are evil forces, evil demonic forces loose. So he says, just like there was evil demonic forces, so too here is evil demonic forces, and the shash is Mezikin. And again, the simple pshat of Mezikin means Shadim. Right? Theoretically, if you wanted to add, you know, you could say, maybe for the Re, it's not only Mezikin, it's also wild animals, which could attack you in your town or someone else's town. Maybe it's also bandits who could come to your town and follow someone else's town. Maybe for Rashi, it's not only pits and obstacles you could trip over, but it's also, you know, being suspected of espionage, which wouldn't happen in your town, someone else's town. Okay, but you get the point. For the Re, the Shash is Mazikin, which applies everywhere. For the Re Natam, it's obstacles on the way, which only apply in a foreign town, in a strange town, and his diuk gets from the order of the words, which the Re says it wasn't a Derech HaChazal to die that. I'll just end with, there is a third Shita that denies the diuk, but that's the Rashba. It's a little funny, I admit, because we do have the Tosos. The Rashba means the Rashba Shatz. Right? The Omer Rashba and Tosos, not the Smarty Rashba. We have the Tosos Rashbi Shans here. And what the Rashba says is not quoting the Rashbi Shans. In the Tosos Rashbi Shans, he sort of asks the question of, like, why there are two different sugyas about this with two psukim, and then ends. So it's mysterious. Like, there's probably something missing in the Tosos Rashbi Shans. He doesn't develop this properly. And what's missing in Tosos Rashbi Shans? We happen to have an hour Tosos, right, which was written later than the Tosos Rashbi Shans. So what does the Rosh Mishan say? He says he's a brisker, even though this is a non-halachic topic. He says there's Tzvei Dinim. How does he know there's Tzvei Dinim? because our Gemara and the Gemara in Taimis darshens it from Yosef's brothers. But the Gemara in Bava Kama darshens it from Yitzias Mitzrayim, from Yishlo Seif's Atem Lo Teksu Ishmetzach Beitu HaBoker. So he says, from HaBoker or, and from Lo Teksu Ish Mipetach Beito Ad Boker, which is said by Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what do we say, Dinam? HaBoker or is because of Hechatim Umichsholim, because of obstacles and traps and quicksand and pits on the way. Because after all, what were Yosef's brothers worried about? They weren't worried about Mazikin. There were 11 of them. Mazikin don't attack two people. Okay, the Gemara says that in some rare cases, Mazikin can attack two people. Mazikin never attacked 11 people. What are they worried about? They're 11 strong guys. But they were worried about, you know, pits in the road. If one of them falls into a pit and dies, then it's not going to help that they're 11. And it's just right. They weren't worried about pits in the road. It was their own hometown. They were worried about Mazikin, because not just like Stam worried about Mazikin, because the Gemara said there were Mazikin in the days of the Gemara. Before there were Mazikin there, Hashem says there's going to be a mashness. That's because of Mazikin. And therefore, this applies even in hometown. And this applies only in a strange town. And therefore, there are Tzvei Dinim. And again, if you ask, so why do you need the din of Chasim Sholim if it's already Chasim Shema Zikin? The answer is because for regular Zikin, unlike Yitzias Mitzrayim, two people are immune. But two people still shouldn't go in a strange town. Okay, enough for Ketov. Let's move on to the Gemara. Ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Meisvei Ucha Or Boke Yizrach Shemesh. This is a. This is referring to the reward of the tzaddikim. It says Ka Or Boker Yizrach Shemesh. And again, Or Boker says. Sounds like the or is boker. So or means daytime. Alma or yamamahu. Or means daytime. Your answer is no. Same exact answer. Makes it or boker. If it had said or boker, then or would be a noun. And it would mean daytime. Uke or boker. It says ke or boker. Ke or is a verb. Ke or boker. And this is what it means. Ke or boker. Like the lighting of the morning. Or even like the light of the morning. If it's a noun, it doesn't mean a time of day. It means like the light of the morning, will be the Zricha Shemesh, the sunrise, the thing and loss of Lavo, in the time of Olam Haba. Olam Haba, sorry, it says. What does this mean? So here we have a three-way machlokas, what it means. I am not going to dwell on it overly much. We'll just point out that it's not so clear exactly what we mean by Ka'or Boker and what we mean by Zrichas Hashemesh. So says Rashi. Rashi says he says that Or Boker means the Kimeir Shel Boker, that Alos HaShachar. Or boker means alos hashachar. You know, boker or means hanetzachama. Or boker means alos hashachar. Alos hashachar will be like hanetzachama. What does that mean? What he means is that the alos hashachar be'olam haba will be as bright as hanetzachama be'olam hazeh. Meaning the sun will be brighter in Olam Haba. Ask me what it means the sun is brighter in Olam Haba. Is it just about better solar power? Or is it something deep, philosophical, mystical, in some metaphorical terms? Or both? I don't know. But it means that the Alos HaShachar, if you ever get up on Alos HaShachar. No, nowadays, many of us don't like to get up Alos HaShachar. Although I personally think it's a lot of fun. If you ever get up at Alos HaShachar, the weather's nice in the summer. And you can learn without being disturbed by your kids. Alos HaShachar is wonderful. But if you get Alos HaShachar, it's only a tiny bit of light. When the sun rises, it's totally light. But in Olam Haba, even in Los HaShachar, it will be totally light like the sunrise. Who knows when it will be later? Okay, it's a little talking in Rashi because the words of the Gemara are a little backwards. It says, like the Or Boker nowadays will be the Hanetzachama in those days. What it means is, like the Or Boker, which nowadays very small, will be like Netzachama in those days. Okay, that's Rashi. Tosos quotes from Rabbeinu Tan that Or Boker means high noon. Means high noon. The real Or means high noon. So says Rabbeinu Tan, what it means is that Hanetzachama, the Olam Haba, would be like Chatzos Hayom nowadays. And that's what it means. The Or Boker nowadays, the high noon nowadays, will be like sunrise in those days. Those days, sunrise will be as bright as high noon. Okay, and the Tosus Rid says a third shot, says the Tosus Rid, he says that the Boker Ameir or Holech Misgaber, Kahia or Hashemesh, Lasad Lava, Holech Misgaber, Talmud, Abalorit Zarayim, Holech U Machish. So he says, not referring to sunrise, says the Tosfos Rid, there is when the sun is up, Zrichas Hashemesh. Notice it doesn't say the word Hanitzachamed, or it says Zrichas Hashemesh, when the sun is up, and then it says Or Boker, when the morning is getting brighter. He says, what's the real truth? Is it really that much brighter in high noon than it is in sunrise? Sure, it's a little brighter, but I don't know. When I walk around right when the sun is risen, it's pretty bright. When it's high noon, it's pretty bright. Yeah, it's only a slight change. Says the Tosfos Rid, this is what it means. It means that that kol zman shehashemesh zoreach Olam Haba, which I assume is forever, you know, like it'll always be day, it'll never be night. As long as the Shem Zoreach Olam Haba is like Or HaBoker Kodem HaNetzachama Olam Hazeh. What do we mean? That just like nowadays, until the sun rises, it is getting brighter, so too in Olam Haba, it will always be getting brighter. Unlike Bizman Hazek. Bizman Hazek gets brighter in the morning, gets brighter in the morning, gets brighter in the morning. Okay, you know what? Let's just see more about Boker. Olam Hazek, shouldn't exaggerate. Just like nowadays in the morning, it gets brighter, but it doesn't keep getting brighter. In Olam Haba, it'll always get brighter. It'll just get brighter and brighter and brighter and never get darker again. Okay, again, you know, I would do this more metaphorically as than physically.
Rebbe, the difference is also in terms of where the shadows are. In the morning, even if the sun is bright, there's still shadows. The middle of the day, there are no shadows. So the apparent perception during the day is of much greater brightness.
Okay, good point, right? So these are the three pshatim. Either in those days, Alos will be as bright as Nates is now, or Hanates will be as bright as high noon is now, or it will always get brighter, just like nowadays in the morning it gets brighter. Let's go back to the Gemara. Continuing the Gemara. Here it's explicit. Hashem called Or Yom, which means Or means day. Amar Or Yomamahu. No, Hachika Amar Lemeir Bakro Yom. Or is not a noun. Or is a verb. Hashem called the brightening daytime. What does that mean? What does that teach us? From when it starts to get brighter and brighter and brighter, it's daytime, which shows us that day doesn't only start at sunrise. The day starts at Olas HaShachar. Whenever it's slowly getting brighter. Hold on a second. If so, Elamiata Olachoshech Karalila, you have to compare Olachoshech Karalila, the Mashach Karalila. You're saying as long as it's getting darker slowly, it's nighttime. In which case, from sunrise, it would be nighttime because it's slowly getting darker. But that's not true. But Kainuanda Tseisach Kochavim Yamamahu. We hold that until Tseisach Kochavim is still daytime. So obviously, when it's starting to get dark, it's not nighttime. It's only nighttime when it's totally dark. In which case, that ruins our pshat. Agav, Tosus asks, here I'm going to, okay, what do they call it? Trigger warning. I'm going to say some YU apikorsis. I don't mean apikorsis to say Wayu. I mean apikorsis against Wayu. I'm going to say some Wayu apikorsis. Tulsa say ask the question. Our Gemara takes it as number push it. Nighttime is only Seisa Gochavin. Until Seisa Gochavin, it's not nighttime. Tulsa says, what about Bina Shmashos? Don't we have a suffix between sunset and when the stars come out, whether it's night or day? How could our Gemara say it's a number push it, that nighttime only starts at Seisa Gochavin? Don't we have a suffix when it's day and when it's night? And Tulsa's answer, and this is what all the Rishonim answer who discussed this explicitly. Every Rishon who discussed this explicitly gives this answer. Says, nope, l'kulei alma b'li safek, it's day until Seisuk Kochavim, and it's night after Seisuk Kochavim. So why do we have a Bein HaShmashos? Meaning l'kulei alma daytimes for Alosa Shachar until Seisuk Kochavim. There's no safek, no machlokas. So why do we have a Bein HaShmashos? Not to mention a whole machlokas exactly. When is Bein HaShmashos? How long is Bein HaShmashos, etc.? Why do we have Bein HaShmashos? Says Tosos, because we're misopek when Seisuk Kochavim is. Why are we misopek when Seisuk Kochavim is? Don't we know what Kochavim means and what Seis means? Tos says, no, we don't, because the Gemara says there are different kinds of kochavim. Some kochavim count, and some kochavim don't count. There are big kochavim that don't count, and small kochavim that don't count, and medium kochavim that count. And therefore, since we're not sure exactly what counts as kochavim, therefore we have a suffix in Bein HaShmashos, but this is all Rishonim who discuss this say this, and there are Rishonim who don't explicitly discuss this, and then you can say whatever you want. But any Rishon who explicitly asked this question gives the exact same answer to the best of my knowledge. That l'kulei alma b'gadol days until Seisuk Kochavim, the suffix of Bein HaShmashos is just when Seisuk Kochavim is. It could be that Seisuk Kochavim is right when the sun sets, or it could be that Seisuk Kochavim is a little later, but it's all just a suffix when Seisuk Kochavim is. The Rav had a different approach, which he based on a Meiri in Yoma, which may or may not say that. And in a Bir Hagra, which does bring up this possibility in a certain context, that no, really, daytime ends, might end in sunset or might end in Seisuk Kochavim, and really there are two ways to view when daytime ends, there are two valid ways, that's like a suffix. The Rav had a very fancy schmancy lumdus, but that's against all the Rishonim. Okay, the Rav had his reasons, just pointing out that the Rav had a fancy schmancy lumdus, which is very popular, which is that Bein HaShmashos is a unique kind of suffix. It's both day and night. Based on sunset, it's night. Based on Seisuk Kochavim, it's day. And therefore, it's a stir meaning obey, which turns into a suffix halachically. And he invented a new kind of suffix halachically. Not that we're not sure, but that we have two conflicting truths creates a suffix halachically, which is very fascinating. That's against all the Rishonim. All the Rishonim say, like Tosos here, there's nothing fancy going on here. Day is avad until Seisuk Kochavim. Our whole Bein HaShmashos, just we're not sure what counts as Seisuk Kochavim. Okay, now they'll kick me out of Wayu. But I have to tell you what all the Rishonim say. Right. So the Gemara now doesn't have an explanation of the pasuk by Yikra Lekimlo Yom LaChoshev Kara Laila. So what do they say? Hachikam. Right. This is what it means. By Yikra doesn't mean he named like by Yikra Ha'adam Shemos. Like Vayikra Adam Shemos. It's not like we call Vayikralo, right? No, Vayikra Shemo. It doesn't mean he named the Or Yom and he named the Choshech Laila, which would prove that Or means daytime. Rather, it means literally he called. Not he called meaning named. He called meaning summoned. And if he summoned the Or, then it's not telling you what the meaning of the Or is, just that he summoned him. So why does it say Vayikra the Or Yom? What do you mean he summoned the Or Yom? If he's not naming the Or, this is what it means. Hashem called the light and commanded it on the mitzvah of being active in the day, and he called darkness and commanded it to be active at night. So that's what it means. That has nothing to do with what the word means. It just means Hashem appointed or over daytime and appointed Choshech over nighttime. Agav, the Achronim quote this. There's a famous philosophical machlokas, which I'm not quite sure why they thought was so important. Maybe someone else here appreciates more than I do. You know, the Gro always talks about, don't think like the Goyish of philosophers. Rather, know the Toradic truth. Like why this is such a crucial religious issue, I'm not sure. Maybe you have to be Makabal. But does darkness exist or not? What's the nature of darkness? Is darkness an object, or is darkness an absence? What they call it, is it a mamashos or a yesh, or is it a head there, an absence? Is there a thing called darkness, or just if you don't have light, darkness means the absence of light? Does darkness exist, or is it merely a lack of something? This is a famous machlokes. On the one hand, the Torah talks, the Gemara has many places, but even the Tanakh talks about darkness as a thing. Like, for example, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, Hashem created darkness. If darkness is just an absence of light, you don't have to create it. They're automatically. So Hashem created darkness. So that's a big machlokes. The Gra is very famous in a number of different works that he considers it very important that darkness is a thing. For the Gra, it's a yesod that darkness is a thing. Again, why it's so important to him, I'm not sure. And the Nitziv, he points out that our Gemara is a great raya for the Gra. Our Gemara, the Nitziv, I put it in brackets here, says, our Gemara says Hashem called darkness and commanded it. That proves that darkness is a thing. How could you summon something and command it if it doesn't exist? So therefore, darkness is a object, not an absence. The most Rishonim disagree with this. The Ibn Ezra and Radak in Yeshaya says, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech, say, of course it doesn't literally mean Uvorei Choshech, because Choshech is not a thing. It just means by creating Or, he also made us notice that it's dark when there's not more. And the Rambam, the Mor Nevuchim, says, darkness doesn't actually exist. Rav Sadia Gaon Limud HaSfideo says darkness doesn't really exist. The Drash Saran says darkness doesn't really exist. Almost all the Rishonim say darkness doesn't exist. The Gra and a few Achronim say darkness does exist. Okay, our Gemara is a good raya for the Gra that darkness does exist. What's the nafkamina of darkness existing? So if you looked in that Nitziv, he gives a strange nafkamina. He says, how do I know darkness exists? Because at night, it's not just an absence of light. There's also darkness. How do you know there's also darkness, not just an absence of light? Because if you light a candle, at night, it will burn brighter than if you lit it in darkness during the day. Why? Because during the day, there's just an absence of light. But at night, there's a thing called darkness, which helps candle burn. That doesn't match modern science, or Ian, even though it's Rishalmi light, which is on the Sugya and Dafdalid. Sachim, we'll get to it. Okay, Lemaisa, this is a raya to the Gra. Kitzur is a raya to the Gra against the Rishonim. What will the Rishonim say back about our Gemara? They will either say, oh, our Gemara is referring to some metaphysical angel of Choshech, but not to the regular darkness. Or they'll just say our Gemara is just a metaphor, and you know, you're not supposed to take it literally. Okay, fine.
Couldn't you say that just like we have that the or is ganuz letzadikim lo mabah, it's not the regular light. There's a darkness that's set aside for, I won't mention for who.
Right, no, you're right. You could say just like the light of Shemesh Meberatius was not the regular light, it was a special mystical light. So the darkness there is a special mystical darkness. Our darkness is not a thing. It's just an absence. But that darkness was a special metaphysical darkness. Hey, I think you're right, Morty. Maybe that's the simplest thing to say. The answer is, the Rishonim will answer, our Gemara is talking about a darkness of Shemesh Meberatius. That was different. But regular darkness is not a thing.
Nitziv is actually describing an experiment and how that can differentiate between the two.
I know. The only problem is it's not true. But the problem by saying it's not true, it's a Mefurish Yerushalmi. And then I get stuck and, okay, we'll have to think about it.
Well, you have to try the experiment.
We have to try the experiment. Okay. You're
but
trying to find
the experiment. The pasuk in Yeshayahu is Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. Not to worry.
No. The pasuk show is Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech Osa Shalom Uvorei Hakol. No,
right.
Hakol
is where they just
make it rated G in the Birkas Hashachar. It's originally Uvorei Hakol. But it doesn't matter. Both the tefillah and the pasuk are Uvorei Choshech. That there's no way out of. Except that Rishon will say it's Lav Dafka. Okay, continuing. Meisve. Haluko Kochve Or. Kochve Or means stars in the night. That proves I'm Or to who? The first proof that Or means night. No, Hachigamra, Luko Kochom Meirem. Kochve Or doesn't mean stars in the night. It means stars that give light. All the all the shining stars. As a matter of fact, I that's probably the simplest part of the pasuk anyway. Mestam in the King James Bible, they translate it as shining stars. And what do I mean shining stars? Keep in mind, for us, shining stars is a funny thing to say. What stars don't give light? The definition of star is that which gives light. But that's because we're using the English word star. The Hebrew word kochav is not the same as the English word star. What's the word for Neptune and Mars and Saturn and Jupiter? In English, it's a planet, not a star. But in Hebrew, anyone go to elementary school in Israel? What do you call a planet in Hebrew?
Kochav lechet.
A kochav lechet. It's a kochav. Right? So the word kochav in Hebrew includes planets and stars. And maybe also comets and asteroids. I have no idea. So in which case, there are taka, kochle, or, and kochle that aren't or, right? The planets are kochav that don't give light. And the stars are kochav that do give light. So it's very reasonable to say, here we're only talking about the stars, not the planets, only the kochav mamirin. The Gemara says, hold on a second, elmiata. Fine, grammatically it makes sense to say these are stars, not planets. But philosophically it makes no sense. Elmiata kochav mamirin d'boi shibuche, she'en meir lo boi shibuche. What kind of crazy deal is that? The shining kochavim have to praise Hashem. The non-shining kochavim don't have to praise Hashem. Mabado, planets don't have to praise Hashem again. I don't know exactly what it means philosophically for planets to praise Hashem. But whatever it means, they do, right? Maybe they implicitly praise Hashem. But that's not true. Everything praises Hashem. Kol tzva'av, right? All the heavenly hosts has to praise Hashem. It's religiously improper. It's philosophically wrong to say that the planets don't have to praise Hashem. So rather, el hakamashlan de orkochavim nami orhu. No, really, it means haluko kochle or. Only the shining planets, meaning the stars. But why does it say kochle or? Why does it say kochle or? Does that mean only the stars, not the planets? No, it means the stars and the planets. So if it means the stars and the planets, why say kochle or? Why don't you say kochavim? Because Agam Orchid is teaching us something. What's it teaching us? That the light of stars is called light. And therefore, meaning, or is has to be a teach us something. So it could have said, or kochavim. We can't teach us that kochle or have to praise Hashem and kochle lechet do not, because that's philosophically wrong. But it's teaching us that everyone has to praise Hashem. But we have to know that that's called light. You might have thought sunlight is called light, but starlight is not called light. Commercial and starlight is called light. The Nafkamina, who cares that starlight is called light? The answer is, l'noder min ha'or. The Tanya, l'noder min or, also born until the Nafkamina, somebody to neder not to benefit from or, then we don't know if they're allowed to use starlight or not. So, Kamashwan, kochli or, that it's called or, and therefore they're not allowed to use starlight, and these people are in big trouble. They made a really stupid neder. Okay, so, here, Tosos asks a question. Tosos asks, he says, since when do we learn nedarim from psukim? So when the psukim teach us what words mean for the purpose of the nedarim, it's a mefurish word erchin, that, Tosos doesn't ask. You understand, Tosos doesn't say v'im tomer yishlomer, but we've all learned Gemara long enough to know that every Tosos is v'im tomer yishlomer. Sometimes they say im tomer yishlomer, and sometimes they just say, this is the answer, even though. Anytime they say even though, right, mihu, however, every however is really an im tomer yishlomer, right? However means it's difficult, but. Okay, what's the kasha? If we were to rephrase this as an im tomer, it says in Erchin that nidorin does not depend what the word means in the Tanakh. Nidorin depends what the word means in Lashon B'nei Adam. Right, for example, if someone says, I'll donate the weight of my arm in gold to the Beis HaMikdash, the weight of my yad. What's a yad? So at first we think yad means only the hand from the wrist down, like what the Kohanim have to wash in the Beis HaMikdash. And then we decide, no, yad means from the shoulder down all the way. Why? Because you put tefillin on your yad, and the tefillin goes here. So, but from when the guy says the nether, he gives from his elbow down. Yad doesn't mean from your elbow down in Chumash. Yad means from the shoulder down. We put, that's how we yotzei tefillin, right? Yad can't mean from the elbow down, then we wouldn't be yotzei tefillin. He says, no, who cares? Yad in the Chumash means what it means in the Chumash, in Hashem's language. But in Nedarim, we go by Lashem Ne'adam. Nedarim are all mental, it's what the guy meant. And the guy meant whatever he used the word, not the quote-unquote correct meaning of the word. Okay, that's very, very reasonable. But the problem is, once we know Nedarim goes by Lashem Ne'adam, so how can we learn that someone who's Nedarim in Ha'or can't use starlight from the Pasuk? It should depend what people say. It shouldn't depend what the Pasuk says. So answers. Tosos, Of course, when Lashon Bnei Adam is different than Lashon Mikra, we follow Lashon Bnei Adam. I mean, Be'erchin, Gabi Homer, etc., etc. What is Tosa saying? That when Lashon Bnei Adam is different than Lashon Mikra, then we follow Lashon Bnei Adam. But otherwise, we follow Lashon Mikra. What does it mean by otherwise we follow Lashon Mikra? He doesn't finish his sentence, right? So let's just finish the sentence. Sorry. Who's the photographer in here? Okay, we're going to have to point the photographer. Well, for now, I'll be the photographer. Hyatt, we're waiting for you to come back. Pure Corona, so you can come back and be the photographer again. Sorry for the new fellows, Hyatt. One of the Zoom participants who's a professional photographer. So it was a shidruk. All the pictures of the board were, you know, really on a madriga before Corona. So what does Tosos say? Let's just think about it for a second. Tosos says if Lashon Bnei Adam is different from Lashon Mikra, then we follow Lashon Bnei Adam. Okay, but, what's the but? But if, then we follow Lashon Mikra, right? Someone fill in the but if. But if Lashon Bnei Adam is the same as Lashon Mikra, then we follow Lashon Mikra, right? It's a little funny when we follow Lashon Mikra, if Lashon Bnei Adam is the same as Lashon Mikra. But okay, one possibility is if Lashon Bnei Adam is the same as Lashon Mikra, then we follow Lashon Mikra. What's the principle then? The principle then is we really follow Lashon Bnei Adam. So why do we follow Lashon Mikra if it's the same as Lashon Bnei Adam? By the way, you know, you're going to say the Feivel. You just gave a, you know, not so logical formulation, but it's not his fault. Who said what Feivel just said? Who said what Feivel just said? Did he make it up? No, look at the Maram Chalava here. He says, "Anol d'rmina ora aser ba'orin shel kochavim." Kotzar Gemara, "V'taima mishum de lashon bnei adam de korol or kochavim or," because people call or kochavim or. He says it's because of lashon bnei adam. He doesn't mention lashon nikra. What about our Gemara? Mir says the same thing. "Anol d'rmina or afa or kochavim aser shel lashon bnei adam mispashit likra afa or kochavim ora." Because of lashon bnei adam, it's called or. Meaning, this is what's the svara? The svara is, we really only follow Lashon Bnei Adam. So what's our Gemara talking about? Our Gemara is saying, you know what? But minastam, the Torah talks in Lashon Bnei Adam, different Torah to Lashon Bnei Adam, and therefore, minastam, people mean the same as the Torah means, right? That I'm filling in, right? Really only follow Lashon Bnei Adam. But usually, the Mikra and Bnei Adam, I would say, usually the Mikra talks the Lashon Bnei Adam. If we know people talk different than the Mikra, like an Erechin, what a Yad means, people mean the lower arm, and the Torah means the entire arm, even the upper arm, then that's one thing. But Minasam, Divrei Torah, Lashon Bnei Adam. Therefore, what does our Gemara mean to say? Haluka Kochvei Or. The Torah is talking Lashon Bnei Adam, and in Lashon Bnei Adam, the starlight is called Or. Okay, and this is, who says this? The Maram Chalava. and the Me'iri, when they quote our Gemara, they don't say he's usher in starlight because of the Pasuk. They say he's usher in starlight because of Lashon Bnei Adam. Oh, what about the Pasuk? The Pasuk is just an example of Lashon Bnei Adam, because the Torah also talked during the year, not the Torah, but the Tehillim. David HaMelech was a Ben Adam, right? The Torah, it's a Chiddush, says Lashon Bnei Adam. David HaMelech is not even a Chiddush. Of course, David talked to Lashon Bnei Adam. What was David? He was a Ben Adam. Wasn't even a B.M. Don't assume it. So David talked to Lashon Bnei Adam, and therefore David's just a Ben Adam. Okay, that is one approach. Did anyone think differently? If no one thought differently, then we'll stop. Ah, exactly. Right? There is another option. The other option is, but if Lashem Bnei Adam is indeterminate, there is no Lashem Bnei Adam, then we follow Lashon Mikra. That's another option. In which case, we're saying there really is power to Lashon Mikra. Lashon Mikra has power. Lashon Mikra is the objective meaning of the word. There is objective power to Lashon Mikra. You can override Lashon Mikra if they other clearly mean parents. But Lashon Mikra has objective power that's very different than the Maror Cholov and the Me'iri. Right? Who says this, Feigl? The Ritva. Right, basically, we have Machlokes in the Ritva versus the Maror Cholov and the Me'iri, how to finish Tosfos' sentence. I mean, not literally, but how to finish Tosfos' sentence. What's the Svara? The Svara is, no, Lashon Mikra objectively defines the word, unless people Lashon Mikra objectively defines. What I want to compare this to, everyone knows the Mishnah Nedarim, which starts with the word Stam. Quote me a Mishnah Nedarim. Stam Nedarim Lahachmir Perushin Lahakel. If we're not sure what you meant, and we're Machmir, but if you explain what you meant, we're Mekel. What do I mean by that? If a guy used a word that we're not sure what it means, we have to be machmir, but if he says what he means, then we believe him. Like, for example, the guy says, even far out, the guy says, this steak is chirim to me. Okay, we all know what chirim means, open the chumash, right? It's a neder. Says, no, by chirim, I meant a fishing net. The fishing net is called a chirim in Hebrew also. I just meant this like a fishing net. I was playing a big joke on you. Then we believe him. Meaning, there's an objective meaning to the word, but if a guy means something else, then he has the right to overrule the objective meaning. So what are you saying? There's an objective meaning to the word. Lashon Mikra is objectively what the word means. If a guy says I meant differently, or if all people mean differently, then that overrides it. But there still is a meaning. It's just that you can override it. There is an objective definition of the word, but people's das can override it. Yeah, but really, we care about Lashon Mikra. It's just that if you mean something different, then we go by what you meant, because the Nedarim have to be belayed. You need pit, libo, shoven. Right? So your das can override it. Okay. And whether this is exactly like the Mishnah Nedarim, that sort of depends, whether you go by someone's das lahakil or even lahachmir, which, if you want, is a big discussion in the Chaz and Yecheskel in the Tosefta in the beginning of fourth paragraph of Nedarim. We're not getting into Nedarim too much here. If you're interested in exploring more the idea of the interplay between what people mean and what the word objectively means, the best essay about this that I know of is the Chaz and Yecheskel, Master Yecheskel Abramsky. I think it was the dying in the bed in London his day, and then he made Aliyah, Talmud of Rav Chaim, his Parish on Tosefta, which is not really a Parish on Tosefta, it's just an excuse to say Lumbus, which is fine with me, in the beginning of the fourth paragraph of the Durham. But on that mission, but that's not what we're discussing now. Anyway, we have two possible ways of understanding this Tosefta's principle. Is it that we don't care about Lashon Mikra at all? It's just an example of a person. Mikra is also a person. And even the Chumash, which is not a person, was talking like a person. Or that we do care about Lashon Mikra. It's just that people can override if they mean differently. The nafkamina is, what about stam? And that's exactly what the Ritva says. What if there is no Lashon B'nei Adam? Then you would go by Lashon Mikra, says the Ritva. What would the Maram Chalom and the Meiri say? I don't know what they would say. Maybe there's no Lashon B'nei Adam, no clear Lashon B'nei Adam, you just have to be Machmir. Or the Ritva says, what if someone spoke Hebrew but didn't, someone used the Hebrew word but didn't know what it meant? An American, you know, a non-from American who doesn't speak Hebrew, I'm going to say no Rav, it could be a from American who doesn't speak Hebrew nowadays, used the Hebrew word and didn't know what it meant. According to the Ritva, if he didn't mean anything, then it goes by Lashon Mikra. According to the Maram Chalom and the Meir, it would probably go by Lashon B'nei Adam. That's a great nafkamina. What if a Japanese person used the Hebrew word and had used the Hebrew word but didn't know exactly what it meant? Maram Chalom and the Meir would say, go by what Israelis think it means, Lashon B'nei Adam. The Ritva would say, if you didn't mean anything, go by what the Torah says it means. That's the objective meaning, if you didn't have anything in mind to override it. Okay, so there could be nafkaminas. Nafkamina, for example, there's the Ritva's nafkamina. Loes shenadar be'lashon hakodesh. The Ritva would say, you go by Lashon Mikra, because he didn't override it. And I think the Maram Chalom and the Meir would say, they'll discuss this, that you go by Lashon Bnei Adam, Dobrei Yivrit. You go by the Lashon of Hebrew speakers. Okay. The other nafkamina could be, what if there is no clear Lashon Bnei Adam? That's a little trickier. What if there is no clear Lashon Bnei Adam? I'm not sure they would argue or not. Because it could be the Maram Chalom and the Meir will say, if there's no clear Lashon Bnei Adam, Mistama, go by the Adam who wrote Tanakh. Or the Kalakhtid Lashon Bnei Adam who wrote the Tanakh. Okay, but that's a clear nafkamina. Okay, now we're ready to go biter. Says the Gemara, Mesvei, our last Mesvei for the day. La'or Yochum wrote, Seyach, Yikatel, Ani, Yiktala, Nivev Yom. Talking about these terrible people, Yom says, he in the Or, the Rotzeach gets up, and he kills the poor people. Uvalayla, as opposed to that, at night, Yikiganov, he is like a Ganov. So meaning, La'or, he's a murderer, and at night, he's a Ganov. So that clearly proves that Or is the opposite of Laila. That proves Or is daytime. So the answer is no. Or there doesn't mean daytime, and Laila there doesn't mean nighttime. Eov is not referring to just regular life of what hardened criminals do in the AM and the PM. Rather, he's referring to halachos. What halachos are you referring to? Or means clarity, and Laila means lack of clarity. Or means vadai, and laila means suffix. Nothing to do with day and night. And what's he saying? Why, then, would the clarity be a murderer, and the lack of clarity be a thief? He's talking, if it's clear as light. I know, that's not the way we say it in English, but that's what we say in Hebrew. If it's clear as light, that anafashoskai, that this burglar, right? What's a bob machteres? A burglar. Right, if it's clear as light, the burglar is coming to kill you, then Rotzeach, you treat him as a murderer, and you can save the balabayas by killing the burglar. That's the din of both Matthias and the Chumash. But if you're misopic what the intention of the burglar are, like nighttime, then just view him as a regular, not innocent thief. Thief's not innocent, but a regular, it's not harmless. But a regular petty thief, right? Every petty thief, right? Again, the without getting into politics, American politics now, the difference how you treat a murderer and how you treat a petty criminal. So then treat him as a petty criminal. Yeah, he wants to steal a little here and there. He's not a good guy. We should make him pay fell and et cetera, maybe even beat him up a little. But we shouldn't do more than that. And you can't save the balabais by killing the burglar, because the burglar's not dangerous. Okay, very reasonable thing to say. The only problem is that this doesn't necessarily match what it says in Sanhedrin when they darshan the pesukim. Right here, it's a pasuk from Eov. Very nice. Shkoyach to you, Mr. Eov. But Bob Mafter is really pesukim in Parshas Mishpatim, and the Gemara Sanhedrin darshan the pesukim in Parshas Mishpatim. And what do they say in the Pesukim Parshas Mishpatim? They say, in Zarcha Hashemesh, they do make two contrast between in Zarcha Hashemesh Alav Damim Lo, or Ein Lo Damim in Zarcha Hashemesh Alav, And what do they say for a regular, what do they say? They say for a regular person, im zarcha hashemesh alav damim lo. Zarcha hashemesh, they say, means clarity, just like here. If you're sure that he's not threatening your life, then you can't kill him. But if you're not sure, you can kill him. So here it's a little strange. The rule of a stam burglar is that if you're not sure, you kill him. If you're sure that he's harmless, you don't kill him. Our Gemara says, if you're sure that he's threatening your life, you kill him. And if you're not sure, you don't kill him. What do you do when you're not sure? And here we have a fundamental machlokas Rashi and Tosos. It's not just Rashi and Tosos. If you look at all the other Rishonim here, I didn't ask you to look at all the other Rishonim here because they all say the same thing. They all say the same thing as Tosos. Okay, what do all the Rishonim here say? Let's try to figure out what's going on. By the way, let's just review. What's the sort of nickname, jargon, catchphrase, code word for a regular person? What kind of relative do we use to illustrate a regular person? Ben Alhav, right? That's the lush in the Gemara there, meaning a son burgling the father. Why? Because, sorry, I don't mean to scare any of the fathers out there, but the son is like a regular person. He's willing to kill his father. Sons are willing to kill their fathers. After all, Avshalom, I mean, he didn't succeed, but not for lack of trying, tried to kill his father. Sons are willing to kill their father. When I was in college, there was a classmate of mine in college, like in my year in college, who killed his parents because they were very rich and he didn't want to have to wait for the Arusha. He wasn't so smart. He got caught. Anyway, see, that's what happens when you go to secular college. But as opposed to a father who's burgling a son, fathers never kill their sons. Right, again, like David HaMelech, even when he should have killed Absalom a million times over, and it was terrible and stupid and ridiculous of him not to kill Absalom, he still didn't let them kill Absalom. Okay, luckily they didn't listen. Now, let's look at our Gemara. Because our Gemara doesn't match what it says in Sanhedrin about a regular person. Our Gemara can't be talking about a regular person. A regular person, Minastam, you do kill. Our Gemara says Minastam, you don't. So what does our Gemara mean? Right here is the Gemara in Sachem, Daf Beis Amud Beis. It says two things. What's the first thing it says? One second. Hold on a second. I think I'm going to try the blue marker because even though blue is not as good as black, I think that a blue marker that's full of ink will be better than a black that's not full of ink. So I apologize.
Looks better.
What? Do you agree?
Blue looks better.
Yeah. Okay. So let's go to blue then. So what does our Gemara say? Our Gemara says if it's a Vadai that he's anefashos kaasi, then you kill him. If it's suffic, then you don't kill him. Okay, how does this jive with the regular halacha? So says Rashi, hachi kamer. If you're 100% sure he's coming to kill people, which is everyone, except for a father burgling his son, anyone else but a father burgling his son. If the householder stood up and objected. He would kill the householder. And anyone in the world, not only the householder himself, can save the Baal HaMamon, but not show Shalbam Mavteres. Okay. Uba Laila. Says Rashi. What's this referring to? This is referring to a stam Adam, and this is referring to Av Al Haben, a stam Adam. What's Rashi saying? A stam Adam. With no subjective knowledge. What's the rule? A stam Adam with no subjective knowledge. Objectively. Is Vadai al-Nafushos, Kossi. Is Vadai coming for al-Nafushos? Doesn't work well in Hebrew, it does in Aramaic. Is Vadai is Vadai Rutzeach? And therefore you kill him. And therefore you kill him. Eimo Damin. An Abel Aben with no subjective knowledge. Right, again, there's all cases where subjectively the guy doesn't know anything, right? Eob's talking here in this passage about a case where subjectively you don't know what his intentions are. All you know is who he is. So a stam person, if subjectively you know nothing, then objectively it's possible that he's coming to kill you. Because the Torah gives a psychological insight, that a stam person is coming to kill you. But Abel Aben, with no subjective knowledge, objectively, is a suffix. Is a suffix. I wouldn't say rotseach. I don't like rotseach. Is a vadai potential rotseach, right? Let's say vadai potential rotseach, right? Baal nefashos. Vadai muchan lertzoach. He's for sure prepared to kill him. Suffolk. An Abel Aben, on the one hand, he's your father, he loves you. On the other hand, he's burgling your house. He's a burglar. We're not sure. And therefore, he's Suffolk. You can't kill someone. He's Suffolk, right? If I say final, I think you might be threatening my life. I can't kill you because you might be threatening my life. I can only kill someone if you're definitely threatening my life. No, definitely, well, within reason. Otherwise, they would know herself. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Rashi says our Gemara is not discussing what the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin discusses what if you have subjective knowledge. This guy's a stam guy, but I happen to subjectively know he won't threaten me. This guy's my father. I subjectively know he won't threaten me. If I have subjective knowledge, then I have subjective knowledge. Then the Seder. If I have subjective knowledge, then I follow the subjective knowledge. Our Gemara is talking about a case where the guy subjectively doesn't know anything. He wants to know objectively what the Torah tells him are the chazakas of human nature. And the answer is, everyone but my father, objectively, is Vadai coming to kill him. Therefore, I kill him first. My father, objectively, we're not sure. And therefore, I can't kill him. That is Rashi. Right? We're not discussing subjective knowledge, we're discussing objective knowledge. Meaning, Rashi says, this Vadai and the Suffolk are the Torah's objective Vadai, the Torah's objective Suffolk. Says Tosfos doesn't like it. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi. He doesn't say exactly why he doesn't like Rashi. Omer, Rivri, Vada, the High Cross, etc., etc. But he doesn't like Rashi. Rather, what does Tosfos say? Tosfos says, make it Okimta. Okimta is that it's Mayri, but Av al-Haben, meaning the father who's burgling his son's house. Tosfos Okimta. In which case, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that, once again, draw that if subjectively I know he is prepared to kill, then Orkin also, if subjectively I know nothing, if there's no subjective knowledge, let's say, if there's no subjective knowledge, then ain't Horgan also. That's how Tosu reads it, that our Gemara is only discussing Aval HaBen, not Ben Al Ha'av or anyone else in the world. And then our Gemara is just repeating what it says in Masechah Sanhedrin. Now, what's the machloket between Rashi and Tosfos in Parshanut, in interpreting the words of our Gemara? Obviously, what will interest us a little more is what's the machlokas between them in the conceptual level. But the machlokas is, what does our Gemara mean by Pashut and Masukut? Rashi says that what's the machlokas in Parshanut? Is that when the Gemara says Pshitalach or Mesapgalach, Rashi says it's referring to objective knowledge objective knowledge found in the Torah. That's what Rashi says. If the sound person, the Torah objectively tells you he's Vada Yerutzea, kill him. If it's your father, the Torah objectively tells you, based on the Torah's insight into human nature, that he's Sabi Yerutzea, so don't kill him. While Tosfos says the words, this is sort of my folk in the Parshanot, are referring to my subjective knowledge of the person who is present. Subjective knowledge of the guy who's standing there. If subjectively he's sure the guy's a threat, then kill him. If subjectively he's not sure, don't kill him. In which case, you have to do kenta. What do you mean if I don't know anything, don't kill him? It must be only Abel Aben. You see how Tosos is a little dogma compared to Rashi? That Tosos says that our whole pasuk and Eob is only referring to Abel Aben, which is 0.01% of all burglaries. Well, for Rashi, the pasuk is referring to 100% of all burglaries, both Abel Aben and Stam Person. Okay, that is the machlokes between them and Parshanot. Now, what I want to know is there a machlokes between them? Okay, we're not going to have time to finish all the Makoros today, sadly. But at least to get started, what's going on? Is there something deeper going on here? Other than, it would be great if there was less machlokes in Parshanot, that would also be fine. Is there something deeper going on? Is there a conceptual machlokas or not? What do I mean by this? What I mean by this is Rashi gives us a very, very clear conceptual rule. What's the conceptual rule? You kill someone if they're a vadai potential rotzeach. Misafik, you don't kill someone. But here's an interesting question. What's the rule of a suffik? A bottom line suffik. If you're mamish misufik, if there's really a suffik, what the guy's intentions are, do you kill him or do you not kill him? What is the shita lahalacha, right? What is the halachic shita of Rashi? The halachic shita of Rashi is very clear. Is that, why, let me ask you the simple question. I didn't leave myself enough room. But let's just pretend here is more Rashi and here is more Tosfos. What is the basic halachic rule? Rashi is very clear. You only kill the Bava Machteres if Vada. if he's badly coming to kill. You only kill him if he's badly coming to kill. And therefore, why kill a stam adam? When there's no subjective knowledge, why kill a stam adam when there's no subjective knowledge? Rashi already tells us. Because the Torah teaches us that he is a vadai rotseach. However, the question is there another option? The question is there another option? What's the other option? What's the other option? The other option is that no. The basic halachic rule is that you kill even misafik. Maybe the basic halachic rule is that you kill even a safek rotseach. The basic halachic rule is that you can kill even a safek rotseach. And that's why we kill a stam adam with no subjective knowledge, because we kill a safek potential rotseach. Now my question is, Rabosai, does Tosfos, when Tosfos rejects Rashi, is he agreeing with Rashi conceptually, halachically, and only arguing with him about Parshanot of our sugya? Is he agreeing with Rashi in principle, only arguing what the words of our sugya mean, but he held the exact same thing in principle? Or does he disagree in principle and think you killed me something? Maybe this is a very deep, lumpish issue here. Maybe also philosophical, but more important, lumpish, right? Do you only kill a vadai potential rotseach? A vadai, someone who's ready to commit a murder? Or do you kill even someone who's a suffix whether he intends to murder or not? So Rashi is very clear. Tosos doesn't say, subjectively, I know he wants to kill me, I'd kill him if he's my father. Okay, that's a vadai. If I have no subjective knowledge, I don't kill my father. Maybe that's also a vadai. If he's my father, I have no subjective knowledge, I'm a stama. It's a vadai that he doesn't want to kill me. What about a suffix? We know all the rules. Let's review. We know the rule is, if he's my father, I can't kill, we don't kill him unless we subjectively know he plans to murder. If he's anyone else, we do kill him unless we subjectively know he doesn't plan to murder. The question is, what's the principle behind the rule? Why do we kill a stam person if we have no subjective knowledge? Out of suffix, or because the Torah teaches us the vadai? Rashi said the Torah teaches us the vadai. Rashi says the pshita is the objective pshita of the Torah. The Torah teaches us the stam person is a vadai. What does Tosfos think? Here, it's not so clear what Tosfos thinks. Tosfos of Bein Haperetz, I think, is clear. Says Tosfos of Bein Haperetz right here. Says Tosfos of Bein Haperetz. He says, Melinera, why does Tosfos reject Rashi? Does Tosfos reject Rashi because he argues in the sort of details of how to interpret the words of our drasha? Or does he reject Rashi because he argues on the din, on the principle of the matter? Says Tosfos of Haperetz, Melinera, the Lishna, the Ipshita, Mashu, Shesh, Trum, Shesh, Shibla. The language of our Ipshita sounds like sometimes you're not Pasha, but you decided it was Pasha. Meaning the language of Pshita sounds subjective. Doesn't sound objective. But a stam person, the only Pshita of Pasha is going, because he gave the right of Achir, Musa Hedrin. But a stam person is objectively Pshita. Meaning, what did Tosfos of Haperetz say? Tosfos of Haperetz says, I agree with Rashi in principle. I agree. The reason we kill a stam person is because the Torah tells us, the middle line doesn't mean parents. A stam person with no subjective knowledge, it's always possible that he's coming to murder. Came to my Ma'akir, if we're talking about another person who's not a father. Came to Sanhedrin. Right? The law about the Kachamash Al-Bais, in addition, you know, Abbas, why is he going to steal the Al-Bais' money? He knows that the Al-Bais is not going to be the king of Al-Bais. He's obviously coming to kill the Al-Bais. Okay. Says that doesn't mean parents. I agree with Rashi in principle. I totally agree with Rashi in principle. My only machlokas is I don't like the fact that he thinks the word pshita and masakin are so being objective. I think the word pshita means subjective. It says pshita, it says pshita lach. Pshita lach means in your subjective judgment, and you might have thought otherwise, and someone might have thought otherwise, but you think this. So it says that Tosfos made a heret. Tosfos only argues on Rashi. Tosfos only argues on Rashi. In parshanot. And not in principle, not in din. That is the Tosfos Meir Peretz now. In which case, the Machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos is not really so interesting. It's a Machlok where the art sheet is objective or subjective, and then you have to technically get it to work out, but they don't argue in the lumpness of that. However, that's not necessarily so obvious. That's only one opinion. Well, here it gets a little trickier, but Rabbi Lozer Meir Horowitz, in the back here, he has a funny shot of Tosfos. He wants to be a chalak in Jews and Goyim, that you with a Goyim, you're different than Jews, but the Karong, Rabbi Lozer Meir Horowitz, says that Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on principle. And Tosfos thinks you kill even Misafik. Okay, he also adds something. If you read him, you're going to have to tease apart the fact that he's Machalakim Jews and Goyim. I'm just thinking the part he says about Jews. He says, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi in principle and says you kill someone even Misafik. And that's why Tosfos rejected Rashi's shot. Tosfos rejected Rashi's shot because the reason you kill a stam person is not because it's an object of Vaday. You kill a Misafik. So, what did Tosfos mean? Now again, what do Tosfos themselves mean? I don't know. Maybe it's more likely that Tosfos made a parrot revealed what Tosfos meant. It was one by like Tosfos that were loaded by Horowitz, you know, 700 years later revealed what they meant. But it doesn't matter because the Minchasino holds that way, and it's not just where Lozer Meir Horowitz. Right? Basically, now we have a Chakira. What is our Chakira? Our Chakira is, what's this whole din above Mafteris? Is the din above Mafteris just telling you to kill a Vadai Rodef? A Vadai Rodzeach? Or is Bob Mafteris telling you to kill a Suffolk Rotzeach? Rashi is very clear. Even the Stam case, when you kill, when you're a Stam person who's not special and you have no subjective knowledge, the reason you kill him is because the Torah tells you it's an objective Vaday. You only kill a Vaday Rotzeach. Tosfos is not so clear. Tosfos Meir Peretz says, we admit that you only kill a Vaday Rotzeach. The reason we didn't say Rashi's shot is just we didn't like the way he interpreted the word pshita as objective, since it says pshita lach, it means subjective. However, Lozer Meir Horowitz says no. The reason why Tosfos rejected Rashi is because Tosfos doesn't think that you kill a stam person as an objective vaday. Tosfos thinks there's no such thing as an objective vaday. You kill a stam person because he's a suffering from Seach. You kill a suffering from Seach. And we're going to have to end now, but we'll have to pick up, of course, with the Minchas Chinuch explaining where in Shas this Chakira really comes from. It doesn't originally come from our Sugya end. Psachim, but it really comes out of the Gemara in Yoma. But maybe we'll just say we've covered the part that has to do with our Gemara. Again, two different ways of reading our Gemara. And the question is, Tosfos clearly rejects Rashi's shot. Does Tosfos reject Rashi's shot just because he doesn't like the way he interprets Pshita Lach as objective knowledge? But he totally agrees with his dinim. Or does Tosfos reject Rashi's shot because he doesn't like the din? What do you mean we only kill a Vaday Rotzeach? And that's the principle. Not true. We kill even a Suffolk Rotzeach. Okay. Liat had his hand up.
Can't you ask, look at that a different, I don't know if this is what Rashi is saying, that there's really a two-step process. It's not a matter of whether you kill the Suffolk or not. Over what Rashi is trying to say is the Torah tells us that someone is a Rotzeach, is a Suffolk Rotzeach, the Torah makes him a Vaday Rotzeach. Then, once he's a Vaday Rotzeach, then we go on the principle that we can kill him.
The Torah makes him a Vaday Rotzeach. I don't know what you mean. If you mean the Torah makes him a Vaday Rotzeach, means the Torah informs us that he's a Vaday Rotzeach, that's exactly what I wrote on the board. If you mean he's not a Vaday Rotzeach, the Torah says pretend he's a Vaday Rotzeach anyway, then I don't think that fits Rashi's lashon. Rashi says, Barer lecha hadavar ka'or, you yourself are sure. You yourself are sure means the Torah is telling you what you're really sure about, not to pretend. I think in Rashi, you really are sure. So I'm not sure what you, if you're suggesting that the Torah tells us that we're sure, then that's what I put on the board. The Torah gives you objective knowledge. If you say the Torah tells you you're not sure, but kill him anyway, that doesn't fit Rashi's language. Rashi says you are sure.
That's what I was at. Is Rashi, that's what Rashi is saying.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Okay, Leon.
I was wondering, Rabbi, if is there a need to, let's say someone breaks into your home, Bam Machteris, classic case, is there a need to clarify whether or not it's your father? We assume Rove, people aren't your father, and therefore we can kill him no matter what.
I assume that if you can't see his face, then you assume he's not your father. I mean, how many people are there in the world, and how many of them are your father? I assume that, just Misvara.
Okay, it seemed interesting that like the emphasis being placed on Beer, maybe you could say, I don't know, if Tosos is Dachuk in the case of your father, maybe not, but the beer element just seems to indicate maybe, I guess, Rove would imply not, I guess. Also. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, I just think up common sense. Like, what are the odds it's your father? Now, of course, you'll concoct all kinds of weird cases. What if I happen to know that my father is planning to burgle my house, etc.? And then, I don't know. Then I'm going to be confused. So I'm going to say I don't know. Noah.
Isn't there another way to understand that Tosfot's leveling this drasha from Eov, or this understanding of the pasuk in Eov, to also be talking about Habak Machteret? But an alternative read of our sugya locally in Psachim could just be that Hababa Machteret serves as kind of an example, and it's Lav Dafka.
Yeah, but I think it's hard to say our sugya is not talking about Hababa Machteret. Why? Because our sugya is contrasting Rotseach with Ganav, meaning it's talking about someone, it's not talking about someone you're not sure if he's a Rotseach or a regular or an innocent guy. You're not sure if he's a Rotseach or a Ganav, meaning you know he's stealing. You know he wants to steal. You don't know if he also wants to kill. Once you know he wants to steal, you don't know if he also wants to kill. That's just Bob Machteris in different words, right?
It seems like it. We're making the assumption that it is.
No, but I'm saying my definition is if the Gemara says Machteris is Lav Dafka, it doesn't have to be a tunnel. It just has to be burglary. Then if we have a guy who we know he's a ganef and he might also be trying to kill someone, then isn't that just... by definition, Bob Machteris means someone who's breaking in and stealing and might be willing to kill someone.
So, no, that's not what I meant. I meant when our Gemara says, Ipshita lach milta k'nohara adin apasho kati, so maybe our Gemara is just giving the example of clarity and disclarity. It's not giving a specific example. This isn't actually being osake in the din of a Bob Machteris. It's just saying...
I see what you're saying. Our Gemara is just giving the principle that underlies Bob Machteris.
Yeah.
Okay, I think that's perfectly fair. I don't think it would change anything on the board. I think it could be, but on my side, I don't think it would change any of our analysis, to the best of my knowledge. So I'm not going to worry too much about it. Because I think everything else would still flow the same. Leah?
There's a follow-up question to Noah's question. Could we, if they say that there wasn't Dafka Bab Machteris, could we assume maybe that it's different only in the sense that Bab Machteris is more of a, we're more free with the ability to let someone kill someone, Bab Machteris, whereas regular road date, maybe we need a little more clarification?
So the answer is that we'll discuss that next year. That's on the Makorah sheet, and we just didn't get to it. Kedarkeinu Bakodesh. So you're right, that's a fascinating question, and let's think about it.
Thank you, Rabbi.